Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciples also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Oh, it feels good to say it again, doesn't it? After 40 long days of prayer, fasting, and penance, of abstaining from that glorious word, to just have it come just busting forth in song this glorious morning, for we have been waiting for so long, for 40 days, just getting through Lent. How many people wake up whenever Ash Wednesday rolls around and goes, "Yay, Lent is here!" Just about nobody. And yet, how many of us woke up this morning and said, "Yes, Easter is here." For this truly is a time of celebration. And we have been waiting for 40 long days for this. But that's nothing in comparison to God himself. That he waited from the very beginning of time for this glorious day to come about. And Jesus shared this with his followers as he was walking on this earth, where he said that my heart is aching to be poured out for you. He talked about how he was longing for these solemn celebrations that we've just had to come about. But interestingly enough, he was not actually talking about today. For today's celebration, in many ways, is utterly and completely unnecessary. When Jesus said that his heart was aching, that was longing, that was yearning, that was on fire to be poured out, he was referring to 3 days ago. He was referring to the Passion that we celebrated on Good Friday. That day that he went to the cross, and he suffered everything for you, for me. Not for humanity as a whole, but he saw each of us as individuals. That's how much he longs to be in relationship with us. And on that glorious day, as we remembered what it is that Jesus did of giving his life, that could have been the end of the story. Salvation was won on Good Friday. Nothing else had to happen. But since when has God ever done the minimum and called that good? We can go all the way back to the very beginning of time itself when he first created humanity. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, he placed them there. They had no sin whatsoever, no effects of sin. They were perfect. And he could have looked at them and said, "You have all of the graces that you need. I have given you the minimum. Good luck." He could have done that. But he knows how weak humanity is. He already knew that the fall was to come. We had the freedom not to do so, but we chose it anyway. And immediately after the fall, when we had severed ourselves from God himself, when we had severed ourselves from any hope of salvation, he could have looked at us and said, "I warned you." He could have done the minimum, but he didn't. Immediately upon the fall, he put in place the plan of salvation. And he began to form covenants with the people of God. That he said, "I will reach out to you and I will bind myself to you. I will form a relationship with you. I will teach you who I am." And in that first covenant, as he established that and gave the grace for salvation, he could have left it there. He could have done the minimum. But he didn't. When it was seen that humanity could not follow the first covenant, he then came back again, formed another covenant, expanded the capacity for salvation, expanded our knowledge of who God is, welcoming us deeper into relationship with him. And he could have left it there, but he didn't. 6 times throughout the Old Testament, God could have done the minimum, but he kept forming new covenants, bringing us deeper and deeper into relationship with him, coming to understand who he is and what his ultimate plan of salvation was. And then he formed the new and eternal covenant, bound in his own blood that was poured out on the cross. Every last drop, even when his side was pierced and the blood and the water flowed forth, he could have looked at us and said, "That's it. I have no grace left to give. Everything has been poured out. Good luck." But he didn't do that. Immediately, upon giving his life on the cross, he went down to the netherworld, took the cross with him, took that tool in which he won salvation for the world, smashed the gates of hell, and brought forward all of those souls who had followed the covenant up until that point, brought them up to paradise for the very first time. The gates of heaven were finally open again. And he could have remained there, but he didn't. 3 days later, he came back to this earth again so that we would not just hear the message of salvation, but actually be able to see it with our own eyes, to be able to recognize that everything that God had promised from the very beginning of time, this was now fulfilled. He wanted us to see, to hear, to understand how much he wants to be in relationship with us. And so for 50 days, he walked across the earth, moving at the speed of thought, visiting so many places that we can't make any sense of it except to understand it's God himself who's doing it, performing so many miracles in those days. That, as we hear in the gospel at the end of the gospel of John, if we were to write them all down, no books in the world could contain everything that was done. So much glory was poured into the world. And he could have ended it there, but he didn't. He continues to this day to perform incredible, amazing miracles. And that is what we celebrate. For we gather together this morning and we call ourselves Christians, for that is what we are. And what is a Christian? A Christian is one who acts like Christ. And so if Christ is unwilling to do the minimum, neither can we. For so much glory is being offered. We heard in the first reading how even the God-man himself, he lived in union with the Holy Spirit. And it was through the power of that third person of the Trinity that incredible actions were done, incredible glory was given to the world. And last night we gathered in this holy temple here and we celebrated the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as he came upon the font and consecrated the water so that no longer is it fit for washing cars, washing windows, washing dishes. Now by the power of the Holy Spirit, it has the strength and the glory to wash souls, to make them like Christ. And here in a few moments, we will remember that there was one day where we were brought to that holy font. We were washed in that glorified water, and we were made like Christ. No longer is the minimum an option. Not because of any obligation that has been poured upon us, but because of a deep and glorious invitation. It's going to take the next 50 days of the Easter celebration for us to unpack even a little bit of this mystery, especially for those who come to daily Mass. We're going to hear as we walk through the Acts of the Apostles what it did that these cowardly 12 men were able to perform. The day that Jesus won the grace of salvation, all but one ran. But immediately after they received the Holy Spirit, they became like Christ. They preached with strength, with confidence. One homily converting 3,000 souls with just a few words. Another of the apostles going and visiting those who are sick and ill and bringing them back to health. Another of the apostles placing his hands upon a dead person and bringing them back to life. And of course, St. Peter himself, that even his very shadow could heal the sick and the lame. This is the glory that we rejoice in today. This is why we remember that Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And that glory is being offered to you and to me. This is not something that we're reflecting upon that happened in the past. The power of the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. That when it's poured into a soul and a soul is willing to accept him in, there's no limit to what God can do in their life. And I say us and we for a reason, because I have been preaching now for 9.5 years. As far as I know, I have not preached a single homily that has converted 3,000 people. I've yet to actually have 3,000 people listen to a single homily that I preach. We're in this journey together. And it's why we need each other. To pick each other up, to support each other, to encourage each other, to push each other. To recognize that there is so much more to this life than simply waking up as that obnoxious alarm goes off, slugging down the cup of coffee so that you can hopefully stay awake, working 8, 10, 12, 15 hours a day, coming home exhausted, depressed, unsure of what life has meaning to, hopefully getting some sleep, and then waking up and doing it again. Is that not the existence of so many people in the world today? Not living, but existing. Doing the minimum, not because they choose to do so, but because they feel there are no other options. But you and I, as Christians, we have the opportunity to preach the good news to them, to share with them there is something more. There is life in the risen Christ, and he wants to give us the fullness of life itself. I was so struck the last couple of days as I was going about my business as normal, and I would get my food from the fast food place, or I would go through the store and talk to the cashier. And in December, we're all used to it. Merry Christmas to you, back and forth. It's the norm. It's a beautiful thing. But then the last couple of days, they'd hand me my stuff and I would say, thank you so much. Happy Easter. And they would go, oh, I guess that is coming up. Not even knowing how close they were to the glory of the risen Christ. And here I'm not just talking about bringing awareness. Every single person that I wished a happy Easter to, once they got over the shock, once they processed what the heck this guy was saying, every single one of them had an extra smile on their face. That's how easy it is to preach the gospel, to see the other person, to see the glory that they are made to have, and to remind them of their dignity. And in that, we are reminded of our own, that we are a people of the resurrection, that we are called to live in the light of the glory of God Himself. And when we allow that to work in our lives, there is no limit to what God can do. For He's already conquered death. What's left? Everything is in God's hands, including your life. And He wants to bless it abundantly. All we have to do is open our hearts and invite Him in to recognize the glory of this day and live in that light. For it is true that Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.